This is David Haken with KC Cafe Radio at the Woody Guthrie Folk Festival in Okemah, Oklahoma. I'm here with Joel Raphael, who is one of the performers at the festival. So welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. Good to be here.
Tell me a little bit about your background in music.
Well, the first music that I really started playing was... I briefly took accordion lessons. One of my brother took accordion lessons because, you know, I had to do everything my brother did. But then in the school band program, when I was in the fourth grade in California, where I was lucky enough to have band programs in our school, I took up the drums. And, you know, the snare drum initially, and I played in the school band and later in the district and school, district orchestra and district band as a percussionist and drummer. And then that kind of, I had to get a drum kit, you know, because, I mean, you have to kind of, you don't want to stop there. And once I got a drum kit, then I started playing in some little, like, jazz combos. You know, that's when I was still just, you know, older elementary school. And then once I got to, like, junior high and freshman year of high school, about there, then I was in a couple of surf bands. And that morphed into a singing gig because, you know, there were a couple of vocal songs in our repertoire, and I was the only one willing to sing, and I was the drummer, so we had to get one of those, you know, boom microphones, and I became a singing drummer. But then in the early 60s, when the, you know, some people call the 60s folk scare happened, when they actually played folk music on the radio, I decided I needed to get a guitar because that would be a good way to be able to sing. And, you know, you can't really accompany yourself on the drums, you got to have your other bandmates, you know. But with the guitar, I could do it on my own. So that's how it kind of started.
So tell us about the time when you first realized you wanted to do music full time.
Well, I probably knew that pretty much right away, but, you know, I mean, it wasn't really feasible, you know. As an addition to that, wasn't really feasible, you know, at any time, pretty much, you know, if you think about it. But I probably went when I was, I'm going to say, you know, and I had been playing music for a long time already, but maybe when I was 20, 21, I decided I was going to give it a go as a songwriter, you know, and see what happened.
Well, tell us a little about your connection to Native Americans and their struggles.
Well, I've always supported Native American sovereignty, but sort of beyond that, I support, all people, but all indigenous people, because I think that in spite of the differences that people have in culture and religion and gender choice and race, that we have so much more in common than we have different. That I just feel that we're all human beings, you know, and discrimination against one group of people or another is something that's just really repulsive to me. And so I've always supported Native American rights. I'm probably associated with that mostly because of my role and friendship with John Trudell. And I'm now performing with John Trudell's band Bad Dog and standing in doing John's spoken word for part of my performance time. So, you know, I probably have a public association with Native American struggles and supporting those struggles in general. But I just am in support of human beings being human, as John Trudell would say.
Great. So, we're going to get to hear your song, Glory Bound.
Yeah.
What was the spark for that song?
Well, I met a guy who contacted my manager and wanted to use some Woody Guthrie songs in a film that he had written. And the film centered around the story of Emmett Till. But it was, you know, it was written in a way that it was historical fiction in that it, you know, it developed some characters that, you know, may or may not have been in the real story. But it basically covered the story of Emmett Till as a young boy going down to visit his uncle in Mississippi, you know, where his family had migrated to Chicago from. And when he went down there, he had grown up in Chicago, so he went down there and didn't really understand the demographic environment of the South. And this was in 1955. So he made some innocent mistakes in some things he said. I mean, I don't know that they were actually mistakes, but in the environment that he was in, they were interpreted that way, and it resulted in his lynching, basically, being beaten to death and then weighted and thrown in the river, so that no one would find him by a couple of white guys. From Money, Mississippi. And, long story short, it stirred up a national awareness of the civil rights situation. It was really kind of the touchstone that kicked off the civil rights movement. And there's been, a lot written about Emmett Till, and so that's all available in terms of the detail of what happened. Basically, what brought attention to it was the fact that when his body was finally returned to Chicago to his mother and his family a year later after the incident, she insisted on the casket being opened, and his body had been badly mutilated, and she insisted on an open casket funeral. And tens of thousands of people, because this had been in the news for over a year, came to the funeral and were just completely shocked by the state of Emmett Till's body. And it was just such an intense, widespread story that it gave a lot of impetus to the civil rights movement. So when I read the script, I just kind of all of a sudden found myself writing this song, not about the detail of the lynching, but more of a perspective of from Emmett Till's standpoint. And so this is the song I wrote. It's called Glory Bound. I went down to Money Town, a place I'd never been. It's a place my family's from, and a place we still have kin. I'm not sure just how I knew that I had to go down south to Money Town, where cotton fields still grow. And I never knew when I came down that they'd take me down in Money Town. You can lay your money down, I am glory bound. I come from the city streets, north of here by train. And it's 2 days down to Money Town, in the sun and wind and rain. My family tried to warn me, I was just 14. And on my big adventure to a place I'd never seen. And I never knew when I came down that they'd take me down in Money Town. Can lay your money down, I am glory bound. What you think don't matter much if words don't leave your mouth. When Jim Crow is still the law down here in the South, they lynched me down in Money Town. I was just a kid, and guiltier than hell, they never paid for what they did. And I never knew when I came down that they'd take me down in Money Town. lay your money down. I am glory bound. You can lay your money down. I am glory bound.
Listening to Joel Raphael on KCCafeRadio.com. Thank you so much. I love the way you have that from his point of view.
Yeah, thanks.
Perfect for that song. So, tell us about your most memorable show.
Well, I've had a lot of memorable shows for, you know, for various different reasons. Some were more memorable than others, for sure. But the most enjoyably memorable show, which I think is what you're asking me, would probably be in 2012. So not that long ago, just like 6 years ago. In the year 2012, I was invited to be on, I think, three or four shows to celebrate Woody Guthrie's birthday, you know, that were organized by Woody Guthrie Publications and the Archives in conjunction with the Grammy Museum. And the shows I was on, all of them were what you would call a who's who and a who's that of folk music, and I was the who's that. But it was pretty cool to get on those shows. And the one that was probably the most exciting was at the last one, which was in October of 2012, and it was at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. And I think it's like a 3,200-person capacity, and it was sold out in about 20 minutes. I only got to do one song, but again, you know, it was a who's who and a that's that of folk music, and everybody was on that show. Judy Collins was on it, Roseanne Cash, Tom Mellencamp, Jackson Browne, Ramblin' Jack Elliott, Donovan, Jimmy LaFave was on it, and I was on the show. Jimmy LaFave and I were probably two of the lesser known people on the show, but I'll say, you know, in defense of Jimmy and myself, that we had both been in the trenches literally for years at that point for Woody. So it was really cool for the two of us to get on that show. And that's probably the most exciting one, although there's been a lot of really, really good ones.
Yeah. Could you tell us maybe something that sticks in your memory about your time working with Jackson Browne?
Well, I can tell you something that very recent, actually. As I told you a little earlier, I've been performing with John Trudell's Bad Dog. John Trudell was a poet and actor and activist, Native American from the Santee Sioux Nation. And we have a pretty big band. It's a seven-piece band. We have two Native American singers, two electric guitar players, a guy who plays bass and keyboards, and a drummer percussionist. And our main Native American singer, who is a person that worked with John for years, is Quilt Man from Warm Springs, Oregon. And last fall, with the fires up in the Northwest, his home was burned down, was completely destroyed, his ancestral home that was built by his great-grandfather. And he lost all of the things attached to his ancestry, along with all of his memorabilia from shows with Jackson and with John. And, you know, Jackson heard about it and has known Quilt for a long time. All of us kind of known each other for a long time. And so he organized two benefit concerts in February on a Saturday and a Sunday night. And it was just John Trudell's Bad Dog, Joel Raphael with John Trudell's Bad Dog, and Jackson Browne with his band. And we had two sold-out shows at the Pechanga Casino Resort in Temecula, California, near Temecula, California. And, you know, both shows sold out, 1,500 capacity. You know, people came to see Jackson, but As John Trudell's Bad Dog, we got to play to a full audience two nights in a row that understood the purpose of the concert, which was to raise funds so the Quilt Man could rebuild his house up in Warm Springs. So that's a memory with Jackson Browne that I think you know, implies, or it shows his generosity when he sees a need that he can help with. He's just, that's the kind of person. You know, I've heard stories that his agency sometimes is annoyed because they can't book him in certain areas because he did a benefit there like 3 months ago, you know, where all the money went to the cause that he was supporting. And so they go like, hey, we can't book you in, you know, Kansas City anymore because you just did a benefit there for, you know, whatever. So his generosity is unparalleled, I think, in the music business. And he's probably one of the top songwriters in the country, if not the world.
Well, thanks so much for coming today.
Sure.